The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
May, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line through till 1 today. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio@manxradio.com. So whatever's on your mind, could be the fact the Central's closing in Peel, or Subway's back on the Isle of Man, or what do you think of Julie Edger's proposal saying that we're quite weak on whistleblowing policies? And a new sport bike class in 2026's TT next year. Any thoughts on that? Anything else, to be quite honest? The floor's yours. Whatever's on your mind, get in touch. Call 66 13 68, as Howard's done that now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Getting in so early, but this is something I read yesterday, and I have it again in front of me because I've taken it out of the paper. It's a special report, and it's concerning artificial football pitches.
Right.
Now, let's get this right to start with. I'm not against them. Given the children a great deal of exercise and fun and coerce, you know, they're all playing together and having fun. But they're finding that they have a problem in after they've been laid. They put a base layer in,
right,
and then the concrete base or gravel asphalt, and then the shock absorbing layer. Next comes the anchor layer holding the grass. But when they finally put the top on, they'll either use sand, which I've seen quite a few of them. This is ordinary builder's sand or otherwise. But one of the things that's becoming prevalent now is what they term as rubber crumb. Now, that is shredded rubber car tires.
Right.
And that has been used to steady the top layer off the plastic pitch. But unfortunately, this is getting disturbed, which is natural, as the children and ordinary men, women and children are running around playing football, and apparently it's rugby the same. And they're breathing this in, and it's causing health problems. But the European Union is going to ban this in 2031. So to encourage the continued use of this, Britain is not going to ban it. So there'll be a lot of companies moving into Britain with the rubber crumb because they can't afford to lose the business.
Right.
But they're finding this is probably causing blood cancer.
Where did you read this, Howard?
It's in the Daily Mail. I've got it in front of me yesterday. And the pitchers themselves, as a goalkeeper, this is a chap that he died at 20 years of age. As a goalkeeper, he would get grazes that would be black, and the rubber crumb would be in his clothes. He'd rub it in his eyes, or he'd swallow it, which is natural when you're playing a game.
Yeah.
You get up, you've had a bump, and you get... And I've got a little granddaughter, great-granddaughter, and she loves her football. And she'll play... I have to say, this is absolutely nothing against the ability to play football. It's just let's make it sure it's safe for the children and adults. But she finds that a few of the pitches, a lot of them here on the island, are finished with sand, which is good, which is more or less a natural product. But this rubber crumbs is microplastics, and it's getting more and more prevalent around because it's cheaper. And a lot of the schools can put this down, and they're getting grants for it. This is more or less in the UK. Now, I'm wondering whether any of our MHKs, health people, or the education people will be listening to your program, or somebody who's knowledgeable of it, and can come on and say how many, if any, pitches on the island are used by children and adults use this rubber crumb.
Well, I'm just thinking, Howard, because off the top of my head, and I don't know, this may be wrong, but I watch the Ravens, I watch FC Isle of Man at the bowl, and you often see when players are running around, there's a kind of shower of black stuff that comes up behind them. Would that be rubber? Would that be rubber crumb then?
That could well be. I think our granddaughter said that, I think she said the one at the bowl is made of that.
Yeah.
But quite a lot of them around the schools, they have one here at the Annika School, and I think that has sand. But it's one that they put in themselves. They raised the funds for it. But what we're going to find is a lot more are going to be made and fitted in our schools and in our football pitches because they can be used summer and winter. And the children, from a very young age, are playing on these. Even if they're not playing football, they're still on the pitch. And as an adult, we're looking at it, and apparently the checks and tests they done were basically with adults, and that was a chest height. But you've got a child of about 4 or 5 years of age running around there playing football. They're very much lower to the ground and very much more susceptible to the crumbs, breathing it in, etc. And over a long term, this could be, well, for the health, bad thing.
Oh, well, as you say, and also for goalkeepers. Goalkeepers are the one that tend to be down on the floor a lot more than other players.
Yep.
We don't know whether that's confirmed, but it will be nice to know what that situation is.
Yep.
And well, listen, that's interesting. Nearly all the artificial pitches, I've got a note in from somebody who says, this is 284, saying nearly all the artificial pitches on the Isle of Man use rubber crumb rather than sand. So it sounds,
oh, well, there we are, you see.
Sounds like somebody needs to do a bit of checking at the moment and just find...
Yep.
This is obviously a report by the Daily Mail, as you said. So it will be nice to know, anyway, just to put everybody's mind at rest.
It's a full page, and it's based around a young fella. He was a 15-year-old, and he'd been suffering night sweats, tiredness for 3 months, and then he had blood cancer.
Right. Okay.
But this is something that can be prevented now, and it can help the health of children for the future.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, let's get to the bottom of that, Howard. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear
from
you.
Thank you. Thanks, Andy.
Cheers. Now,
take care.
14 minutes past 12 now. Here's Juan with us now. Hi, Juan.
How are you, Andy?
Very well, thanks. You sound like you're miles away. You're not on hands-free, are you?
I am.
How's about?
Oh,
how's
that?
Does that sound better?
That's far better.
That. I don't want anyone thinking I'm a million miles away. Did you see the typhoon fighter at the weekend? Were you here for that, Andy, when it came
no,
over?
No, I was safely tucked up in bed.
Oh, I thought it was the 7:30 Gatwick flight waiting for air traffic control. But how many carbon credits did we use up for that, eh? Oh, my God. Net zero will be going mad, won't they? Good news as well for Isle of Man gas customers. The gas showrooms down in Murdoch House are getting ready to open back up again to take people in and talk to them properly rather than going on the phone. How about that?
The actual public walking in.
The actual public walking now. At the moment, you are allowed a 20-minute free consultation. How's about that? A free consultation. But I was told that they've got new staff in. The staff are working hard to put us back where we were because they were treating us as a backwater country, believe it or not, to the people in Jersey. But they're talking about going front to face again. And so that's good news that we can actually go and talk to someone about your gas bills and stuff. Yesterday, we were talking there yesterday with Nick, and I just saying about the whole industry, and I was probably a bit hard when you asked me about them Americans taking pills and stuff, and it's the same as everywhere now, you know.
What prompts me is, let's face it, and because you spend time in America, you will know Americans love that all-you-can-eat stuff, don't they?
Yes, they do. And, you know, I mean, they are getting a grasp of things there now. And I think, although someone will probably come on and knock me for supporting RFK and Robert Kennedy for what he's doing over there, but he's identifying the problems in modern day foods and stuff, and the additives and the unfitness. And I think if people actually look, I think on YouTube, it's an old video now. It's called The Sugar Film. I don't know if you've ever seen it, Andy. It's only about an hour long, but it just identifies that, you know, the main problem and the main killer always was sugar and not really the cholesterol problem. And they didn't identify it 50-odd years ago, I think it was when Roosevelt was in, and he made a purge on cholesterol and fatty diets, where sugar has been the killer. And you know, that's half the problem we are now. And going down the pharmaceutical route, of course, the Rockefeller industry made a fortune out of pharmaceuticals. And like I've said before, there's no money in dead people and there's no money in fit people, but there's plenty of money in ill people.
There we are. Well, so, there we are. That's a cynic's point of view, Duan.
I just wanted to touch on this. I'll just get this up. It's a text message that I got. It was just, you were talking last week about points on the classic TT and the TT and everything.
Yeah.
And this was a text message I got from a race team that was over. I'm not going to say who it was. But it was just a obviously an opinion that they had. Yes, we should have had two races, both cancelled when both times the circuit was fit to race. There's lots of people very unhappy, and it seems there's something going on, as they don't seem to want us racing. In the last 3 years, we've had a three-lap race and a one-lap race. And that's coming from a race team. So I just put this stuff out there. I talk to lots of people. People phone me up as they speak to Julian. And that's just from people who are involved with the racing. So... And I know it's a big course. There might be showers on one side and not on the other. But, you know, I just take it from people who are actually on the bikes and going around there that there's a little bit of unhappiness there as well. So, I don't know. It's just something to put out there, I suppose.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we've all heard the skeet. I mean, the skeet is, you know, and we don't know what the truth is, that the government loves the TT, but really they think that the classic TT or the Festival of Motorcycling, or MGP, whatever you want to call it, doesn't make as much money as the TT, and you know, they're kind of happy to see it shrivel. But then again, they expanded it this year again, so they've got a plan for it, surely.
Well, you'd think, and like you say, is there a will or a political will? I mean, that goes back to what Tony Brown was saying about our own culture the other day and stuff. You know, is there political will in inside government to keep this stuff going? Or are they going to put obstacles in the way? So they don't, per se, close it down, but there's that many obstacles in the way, the horse can't jump the hurdle. And I'm just wondering if there's a little bit of aspect in that. Again, it's just points, and I think if the one thing that would solve a lot of these problems that we talk about is if we just got rid of net zero, wouldn't that solve a lot of these problems of everything that we've got to comply to and do?
Well, that's good. Again, that's political will, isn't it? And at the moment, we're locked into our net zero targets. That's part. It's in kind of statute. It's there. So that's got to take political will, if there is political will, to revoke that. And you know, who knows what our international companies would say, the people that come here from all over the world, you know, they have to sign up to stuff like that for worldwide. So who knows what would happen then? We don't really know, Duan.
And a little bit of R&R, I think, will go well there. Repeal and revoke. And again, like you say, the big players will only do this because, A, there's money in it for them. And if, B, there's enough pushback, because there's more of us than what there is of them, and that's what people have to remember. If they don't, as they say, carry us on the pathway or the journey, then it doesn't happen. And that's the thing. If people stand up enough and say, no, this is not working, it's like the wind turbine thing. If people stood up and say, no, this is not what we want, and if people did that everywhere, these things wouldn't happen. It's a weakness there to the big companies. And now you look at, how was it, Larry Fink is now the head man of the World Economic Forum. And you look at what BlackRock's doing everywhere. These people get vast amounts of money, and they're only working on our money. I think we've said it on this program before about government. They have no money. It's our money that they're using. So if we turn around and say no, then, you know, how far does this stuff go?
Okay. All right. Chewin, appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. Ed on 555 said, Andy, a few weeks ago, we were told the wind turbine blades were going to be stored at Summerland. Well, we heard that. It was a bit of skeet, wasn't it? Now it's up for sale. So will the new buyer have to store them? That's Ed. When is this government going to wake up? This is 953. The only sustainable renewable energy system is nuclear. These people are going to burden us with massive debts for years to come. Just tap into the UK grid, says Neil. That's the way to do it. And David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want to talk about football. I'm no real expert on this, but yeah. I've been involved a long time. Regarding the bowl itself, I believe it is crumb.
Yeah.
You need to get some report from education is responsible for, or is it the, I can't remember, it's the education now or the DOI responsible.
Oh no, it's DESC run the bowl.
Oh right, so there should be a maintenance program, and I know for a fact that they had a little machine that used to run up and down and flip up the crumb and clean it and take the particles out of it, and as far as I know that's the only one that's on the island, because the bowl is, it costs us quite a lot of money, and I supported it when I was in Tynwald there. Tony Brown brought it forward and got it from the council, and that investment we put in there is done massive things to health on the island, to kids playing football, seniors playing football, vets playing football. But what we need to do, I think, is really is get the government involved in supporting some of the other clubs that's around the island. That's my only thought, and including my own club as well, is Onchan there at Blackberry Lane, is supporting clubs to put pitches onto grass. It doesn't do a lot of maintenance. You have to maintain the grass, and it's like a growing season. You've got to be careful on it when it gets totally muddy, and you can't play on it certain times. But there's plenty to do on the island. I mean, we have, even in our club, we must have about 300 or 400 kids playing football for Onchan. A couple of senior teams, a vets team, and a ladies team as well, and they're doing well. They enjoy it down the bowl. They play down there and play across the pitch. They don't play the full pitch until later on in the season. But they play what we call a summer league down there. And it's bringing people in to get an exercise, keeping themselves fit. The only thing I would say to you is, I remember going to a seminar or something to do with Astro and stuff like that, is when you have a bump or a scrape or a cut, you've got to make sure you clean it, the cut. Don't let it get infected. And that's down to the clubs having first aid kits, the bowl having a first aid kit as well. And maybe we need some more education on the bowl itself. And where does that come from? Is that the FA? Is that the people that own the place? But technically, we own the pitch, don't we? The taxpayers own it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is DESC. So if you want to use the bowl, you have to get in touch with the education, sport and culture people. They run it as they run the whole of the NSC complex. So that's
right.
Their responsibility.
Yeah. And the other thing, the other one, by before anybody asks, the blue Astro, which is further over by over by the track there, that goes round as well, that's actually sand-based. So that's fairly tough. And it's not just sand, just to correct Howard a little bit there. It's a proper sand for sporting activities.
Right.
It's not just builder sand. So I didn't want people to just think it's just sand that's thrown up there.
Okay.
But there is a cleaning regime for all these, sort of like whether sand-based, water-based, which it used to be years ago before they got flooded out. And the same thing will be for the bowl itself there. So I'll be asking, I'll send a little message in to say, what is the maintenance regime? Because I'd be really interested to find out what it is for those particular places.
And it's also worth saying, of course, this time of the year, the football's been back on the Isle of Man for a month or so. So it's worth saying thank you to all the volunteers at all the clubs on the Isle of Man, all the people who do day in, day out, rain, sun or shine, make sure the pitches are ready, make sure the grounds are clean, all free of charge, all volunteers. And as you say, it's not just a men's game, it's a seniors game, it's a children's game, it's a women's game, it's everybody's game. And so let's pay thanks to everybody who's involved with football on the Isle of Man. Well done.
Yeah, I'd echo that. And I'll just do a little plug as well. Ogden AFC are having a car boot sale on Sunday. I know I shouldn't do this, but I have started anyway now. So if you want to come and see what our club's doing down at Blackberry Lane, come along. There's tea, cakes, all sorts of things and stalls. I'll be there if you want to chat. I'll tour you around the building. And if you're available on Sunday as well, Andy, too, you have not been there yet, but you could be. All right?
All right. Thanks for calling today.
Cheers.
Now 26 minutes past 12. I would, but I've got a Sunday 70s show to do. They have crumb at Bamahague as well. It's impossible to get my boys' socks. Get it off my boys' socks, and they come home with black scrapes. A concerned father, this is. That's at Bamahague. So we need to get to the bottom of this. I guarantee it wasn't the weather, says Paul, or is it Barry? There wasn't much racing towards the end of race week, and now the rumour was they didn't have medical coverage to cover the whole course. Well, we haven't heard that, Paul, or Barry, but if you know more, if the microplastic is small enough to infect a simple grass graze, that's an open admission that it is harmful to breathe. That's from 603. And a message in that says Manx National Heritage should prioritise the maintenance of their existing sites rather than take on more rental commitments. This is the news that the Manx National Heritage could be going into the old Barclays in the square in Castletown. The general tidiness and basic maintenance across M&H sites is disappointing. There are damaged walkways, broken handrails, and exhibits wrapped in the ubiquitous yellow tape or barriers. Whereabouts is that, NT? The general lack of housekeeping lets every site down, and yet taking on an extra financial responsibility for an exhibition area with little or no income stream. Well, they say it's going to be a shop, so I mean, Manx National Heritage does a great job, doesn't it? It's one of the jewels in our crown. A lot of the sites on the Isle of Man are absolutely fantastic. Some have seen better days. Let's face it, we all know that years ago, the House of Mananin was industry standard. Now it isn't so much, and we all know it's down to money. But we can be honest amongst ourselves, can't we? Here's Brian with us now. Hello, Brian.
Hiya, Andy. How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Andy, there's a couple of MHKs who, one in particular, calling for a referendum with regards to the net zero and renewable energy projects. Now, last week I was a bit in and out, so I only caught bits and pieces of the Man in Line, but there was something that Julian came up, and I've tried to find it myself, just to see if what he said was correct. And it's based on the emissions reductions and the years when they were counted from.
Yeah.
Am I right? Or did I hear it correct that the Isle of Man's starting point is way past basically the rest of Europe?
Yeah, it was. I think it was the Professor Curran report.
Right. Well, with regard to this referendum, I'm of the opinion, and I may be right, maybe wrong, the government are giving us wrong information. They're misleading us. If they're trying to say that our emissions are nowhere near as good as the other countries, what we really need to do, if a referendum goes ahead, which I believe they should, because it's going to be tax money, payers' money used here, we need to have all the facts. You know, we need to know exactly how much this is going to cost, how much more carbon emissions we are capable of reducing, if any, the decimation that's going to be caused, you know, to the countryside. These things won't just float in. They'll have to be brought in. Roads will have to be widened. There'll be all types of upheaval to the infrastructure. I mean, the public, before they make any decisions, need to know the honest truth, because this is going to saddle people with hundreds of millions of pounds of debt. And we don't even know whether it'll alter our lives in any way. Will it bring prices down? Will it meet our needs?
Well,
I don't know.
I can answer that now. Nobody knows.
No. But we're being led down an alley based on, from what I can ascertain, is false information, misleading.
Well, it'll be interesting to know. And of course, it, we often talk about this on Man in Line. You know, what is opinion and what is fact? You know, somebody else's opinion can be their fact. So it, you have to know where the facts are coming from. And presumably, I mean, I'll just go back to what I said before, Brian. At the moment, the government is on rails. We're on the track to actually reach net zero. And you're quite right. They've committed, not us. I mean, you and I will be long gone. Our children and grandchildren will be picking up the tab for this. They'll get the bill.
Yeah. But if you were to get an extension put on your house, you'd want an idea of what it's going to cost you. Are the government just going to go blindly into this? Are they just going to lead the taxpayers into God knows? I mean, look at the landing stage, how that escalated in Liverpool. Look at everything that the government puts its fingers on, escalates, you know, in price. Can we afford to be saddled with such a debt that this could possibly bring?
Okay, all right. Appreciate it, Brian. Thanks for calling today.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, this is ex-Douglas South representative Paul Quine. Do you remember Paul, the pilot, the airline pilot, who reckons a vote should take place alongside next year's House of Keys general election? Remember, the election is Thursday, 24th of September next year, 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Thursday, 24th. In 2022, the government committed to cutting greenhouse gas emissions by 35% by 2030 and reaching net zero by 2050. Paul Quine.
Well, I think it's one of the most costly issues of our time. I mean, even a conservative value would put it at around about £100 million for something which, in fairness, is something that's going to fall hardest and most brutal on those who are least able to afford it. I mean, you know, if we look at the current tariffs on electricity, you know, they're high and people are, you know, struggling with their everyday commodities, cost of living, etc. So I think the island sort of looking for a, basically a blank cheque for at least £100 million from the taxpayer. I think it's something that the Manx people need to be asked if they're willing to sign up for.
One of government's headline targets at the minute is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 35% by 2030. Now, 2026 will be close to that target, of course, just 4 years away. Is it an apt time to be re-looking at this? Or, you know, will people say, well, we've made it this far, there's no real point in holding a referendum?
No, I think we need to put the brakes on this, to be honest, Lewis. I think this current administration has driven us up to the cliff edge. And I think the next administration certainly has the ability to drive us over the cliff edge. I mean, what we're talking about is something. You know, the UK generates less than 1% of the world's CO2 emissions. The Isle of Man generates an amount that can't even be measured. So what effectively we've been asked to do is commit over £100 million to reduce something that is so small in the first place that you can't even quantify it.
Was this a big issue when you stood?
It wasn't a big issue. I don't think it was something that was at the forefront of most people's minds. But as the duration of this parliament has gone on, then I think it's something that certainly has now come back into the public consciousness.
What do you think about this? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Do you remember the other day, Nick Kay was on yesterday, the pharmacist, but the day before, I think it was Tuesday, somebody called up about the charity that's importing cats from Cyprus to home on the Isle of Man and needed more information. Well, this came in on the answer phone.
Good afternoon. My name is Rachel Evans. I'm a representative of Hope's Cat Colony. Gentlemen called in yesterday asking about the event at Morton Hall Castle Town and questioning whether there was still a need for further cats to be offered for adoption. I just wanted to respond to that, and basically, yes, there is. We have found 80 homes in the Isle of Man for some of our cats. Some of the cats are offered for adoption elsewhere, either through the MSPCA, Mancat, or even through Facebook. Don't suit all of the adopters that come to us. So, for example, some people who want to adopt live in a flat, or some people who want only want one cat, or they want an older cat, for example. We can actually offer some of the things that other centres cannot offer. And also the cats that we bring over are already sterilised, vaccinated, health checked, wormed, microchipped. So we're actually offering cats and encouraging responsible ownership by given the cats to home check people, and the cats are already healthy and preventing unwanted pregnancies. They're vaccinated, they're ready, they're too ready to go outside, they're litter trained. So yes, the answer to that is really there is a place for these cats. As I say, we've got lots of adopters on the island. People have a right to choose where they want their cats from. So if they want to adopt from overseas, they want to adopt a cat in need, if they want to go to the MSPCA or take a free kitten online, everybody has a choice, and all we're doing is offering a choice. We have a Facebook page, Hope's Cat Colony Welfare and Adoption, so you can take a look on there. But I do hope that answers some of the questions that people may have about why bring cats from Cyprus. Thank you so much for querying our work. Thank you.
If you want to pass an opinion on anything you've heard on Man in Line or comment on a contribution, and you can't call during the show but you want your voice to be heard, the answer phone number is 682-631.
Have your say. The Council of Ministers has accepted a proposal for an offshore wind farm off the Isle of Man for examination. Take part in a public consultation and tell us what you think about the application from Moore Vanin Offshore Wind Farm Limited. Go online at mima.gov.im to find out more. You can also respond directly at consult.gov.im. If you prefer paper, collect and return response forms at Third Floor Government Offices, Bucks Road, Douglas. Read the application online and at Douglas City and Ramsey Town Libraries. The consultation closes at midnight, 18th of November. It's time to have your say.
All right, Paul. You're looking relaxed. You finally booked that trip.
Yep, used some of the savings I locked in with Guernsey's Bank Skipton last year. Great interest rate, and they made it so easy.
Oh, Skipton. I've been meaning to sort mine.
Do it. You'll get proper customer service too.
With market-leading savings rates and service that puts people first, Skipton International is here to help you feel secure, whatever you're saving for. For details on all of Skipton's savings products, call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com today. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme, cdcs.gg.
Ramsey Garden Centre, for roses, shrubs, climbers, trees and perennials, or solar lights, stone ornaments and bird baths. There's never been a better time to visit Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 21 minutes before one, and Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? You all right, Andy?
Very well, thanks.
So we were talking about hedge trimming on the with the guy on the phone I phoned up for. It's the responsibility of the landowners, isn't it, these days?
It is, yes. There are certain heights that you have to keep the trees trimmed, whether they're over the pavement or the road.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of, like, literally people coming into work in Douglas have to walk past things, because I was out of the shears on Peel Road, and it made me feel so much better to help out. You know, I mean, I bought them off eBay, nothing special, you know, just went out and cut the brambles back.
Whereabouts on and, Peel Road were you?
Brown Bobby.
Oh, I got you.
Brown Bobby.
Yeah.
Just down there, and it was all brambles and, you know, all across the side of the road.
What did you do with the stuff you cut away?
Well, I mean, it was there, and I put it back in the hedge, so,
You
know, lying in the hedge. Yeah. But, I mean, it was, I'm quite happy. I feel quite good about that, because I've given back to the community. So now we know
if you walk by the brown bobby, the reason you don't get scratched, it's Robert.
Yeah, well, I think it's good to give back to the community, and I'm just saying the kids have gone back to school and all the rest of it. I think it's time to go out for a walk. I don't think the weather's brilliant until after Sunday, but if you order them now, you should get a pair of shears and go out and give them a clip.
Okay.
Because, you know, you know, something to do. Right. So that's something people can have a go at.
All right. Good to hear from you. Thank you, Robert, our guerrilla gardener today. If you want to go out hedge cutting, DOI's issued a kind of a guidance on this. Let's work together to keep our roads and paths safe. If you want more information, go to gov.im, trim your trees. Trim your trees. Landowners, your responsibility. If you own land next to a public road or path, you've got to keep all the branches trimmed to at least 5.3 metres above the roads and 2.4 metres above the footways. You have to remove dead, diseased or dangerous trees and growth. Prevent trees from blocking signs, lights or drainage. Crikey. Manage invasive species and clear fallen leaves or fruit. That's the minimum you have to do. And I think Eddie's with us now. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Andy. All right, mate?
Oh, very well, thanks. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Just a couple of little things. I was listening to Dewan earlier, and I totally agree with him the way he was explaining that people need to be a little bit more, you know, expressing the thoughts and so on, you know. Just to give a few examples, I mean, you remember when the Southern swimming pool was about to close? I mean, that was astronomical, the petition, the amount of people who said, you know, it's got to stay open. That was the people speaking, and the pool stayed open. You look at 20 miles an hour thing that's coming on, the amount of people that are totally against, I've never heard so many people against one thing. Not a very important thing. There's nothing wrong with what's there already. You don't need to fix it. I was listening to the Onken meeting, the one about the wind farm, and I think the chairman of that meeting was saying that 83 people were against it and 3 people for it. That's a very high percentage of people. In the south of the island, it's over 90% of people do not want the wind farm. Right? That's the sort of percentages that is overwhelming. So, in my opinion, it will never happen because the people will eventually start saying, no, we demand what we want, not what the government say we're going to do. It's a bit obvious, and I think Julian points out how the companies that are getting involved in this are so unreliable, and by the sound of things, look, it's already going to go bust. Even.
Well, and I mean, let's face it, they're far from going bust, and there are ups and downs in businesses all over the place. So, and you know,
famous last words, Andy.
Well, yeah, but companies come and companies go. Let's face it. So, the wind farm industry is with us. You only have to look out, you know, when you cross the Irish Sea, you'll see wind farms everywhere. There's the one just off the Wirral. There's the one out in Morecambe Bay. They are huge wind farms, so they're not going anywhere, Eddie.
Well, that's your opinion. I think they're all going to fail dramatically. I think there's quite a few things going on in the British government at the moment where Reform and the Conservatives are getting that way that they're not going to go along with Mr. Miliband, are they? They're sort of on the cusp of changing everything now, and I think it will happen. There is, I think we pointed out not long back, I think it's in Hereford or somewhere around there in the southwest of England, there is billions and billions of tons of gas and oil, and it will come, believe me. The other thing I wanted to get at is last week you had you had somebody on last week who said that the voting about the wind turbines, a lot of the young people of today don't get a fair vote. They're most of them are for it. Well, I seem to recall that there was a fellow called Paul Burgess came over here who wanted to go round the schools and inform them about the truth of everything, but he was banned. So it's not surprising that the kids don't know the true facts, is it?
Well, I mean, the one thing is, let's face it, one thing that children and young people should know is that they're going to have the bill. They're going to have to pay for all this.
Yeah, but we're their parents and we're their guiders. We're the ones who have got to teach the kids, and yet the government are not allowing us to teach the kids anything, the truth about wind. The other thing is, you had a subject on there last week about recycling and things like that. I can remember being on years ago. I've got a very good friend of mine runs a big place in Manchester in Trafford Park, and it was on the news the other night. And their motto is there, all rubbish is recyclable. Years ago, I said, if the government give me the land and the buildings, I would run one here and show them how that one in Trafford Park takes in absolutely everything, recycles it all, makes good some of the things and sells it on, makes profit, and then what it does with the surplus is gives it to charity. The Isle of Man could do that instead of charging everybody a fortune to have it shipped away. Absolutely no. We've got a government here that need to listen to the people.
And what did the government do when you offered them that deal, Eddie?
They just poo-pooed it. Poo-pooed it. Oh, yes, what experience have you got? Ed said, I haven't got any experience, but I've got a friend who runs one. So all they do is you just go and ask him how he does it and then copy it. But you've got to be in the know over here. You've got to be in the boys' club, you know. You've got to be whatever.
Well, you could be in the boys' club. If you stand for Keys next year, Eddie, you could be in the boys' and girls' club.
If they had a common sense party, I would join tomorrow.
Okay, all
right. I might even create one, Andy. You never know.
Thanks for calling, Eddie. Good to hear from you.
See you, mate.
If every government employee, says 648, has to go on a carbon literacy course for a day at great cost to the taxpayer, why not make them also do a day's marshalling course and supporting both the TT and Grand Prix? It's another course to go on, isn't it? Interesting that some people want to discuss in detail the cost of net zero and wind turbines, yet the minute you want to discuss the cost of volatile fossil fuel markets, the cost of replacing and maintaining a fossil fuel power station, or the cost of ongoing environmental damage, mysteriously they clam up and don't wish to discuss, says Steve. If microplastics are small enough to infect a simple grass graze, it's an open admission, hard to breathe. That's 603 again. The island is but a tiny village on the world map, ironically perfectly placed to show the world how this net zero nonsense can be pursued rationally, says this correspondent. I attended the Financial Crime Conference yesterday. The clear message is that the Isle of Man government is desperate to have a good MoneyVal report and not to get on the grey list, yet the government has little concern for the standards residents or the cartel run by some banks who appear to be absent yesterday. The lack of service to the public. Can the man in the street get a bank account? The last bank in Ramsey told me this morning it's going to take 3 weeks if I come in tomorrow. The cashless society and digital banking is too easily compromised, and unless you get a bus to Douglas, there's no service or interaction with your money. MHKs need to wake up and look after your constituents. Well, MoneyVal is a real, real issue. You heard Jane Paul Wilson talking about this, and conveniently, Jane Paul Wilson is on Man in Line next Tuesday. Jane Paul Wilson is the Home Affairs, Justice and Home Affairs Minister, and her Chief Officer, Dan Davis, will be with her. So we'll talk about MoneyVal, of course, everything else that Home Affairs looks after: fire and rescue, constabulary, civil defence, emergency planning, cybersecurity, prison, probation, money laundering, anti-money laundering, disclosure and barring, licensing, parole, police complaints, the road safety strategy, hate speech and hate crimes. Jane Paul Wilson and Dan Davis from Home Affairs on Man in Line next Tuesday.
Back pain, neck pain, scoliosis, headaches, joint pain. At Align for Life Spine and Posture Clinic, we've been helping Manx residents for 16 years with our holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Plus, we're open after work and Saturdays, making it even easier to see us. Visit alignforlife.com or find us on Facebook for more information. Align for Life, 16 years serving the community of the Isle of Man.
is out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Spectrum Windows.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
Crewe's Bereavement Support Isle of Man helps children, young people and adults through one of the most painful times in life, when someone has died. We'll help you to understand what you're going through, develop coping strategies and find your own personal way through grief. Visit crewes.org.im to find out more. That's crewes.org.im.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Andrew's with us now. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andy. Thanks for taking my call.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was very saddened yesterday. I manage the estate around Cornay Beach, which I'm sure all of you listeners will be aware of. And I was very saddened yesterday when I went down there, and we have two cottages on the beach. And the one I'm talking about is called Cable Hut, because it's where the cable came in, the electric cable came in from Cumbria back in the day.
Right.
And I was very sad and annoyed at the same time to see that all of the windows had been smashed over the weekend.
And it definitely happened over the weekend.
Yes, it seems to have, because we're, you know, there's another member of staff on the estate and he's about quite a lot of the time. And, of course, would notice this. And it's also not far from the owner's house, the owner of the estate, and he walks around and, you know, would have noticed what was, if this had happened. And I obviously, I've informed the police, but there's nothing they can do, obviously, unless they're caught in the act. But it was just wanton vandalism. To go round, I can understand maybe one stone at the window and it's cracked and, you know, it was an accident. But to go around the cottage and smash every window in that cottage that's been standing there for decades and decades and decades, I think is absolutely appalling. And it was just to bring it to the listener's mind that, you know, this is happening more and more often now. We've had, I mean, last year we had trees cut down in the little valley that runs up to the fishery, the Cornay fishery, and fires lit, and all sorts of things going on, which seems to happen, you know, during the summer holidays.
What did the constabulary say?
Well, they were very understanding, but of course, you know, they said, oh, we'll go down and have a look. Are you going to board it up? I said, well, we'll have to board it up for now to keep the rain out. But they said, you know, the chances of finding anyone is virtually zero. And, you know, so which I can understand. I mean, they've gone and, you know, it's as I said, unless they're caught in the act, there's not a lot you can do about these things. But well, it was just, I just couldn't understand the world.
Well, the thing is, there's no explaining this, Andrew, because how do you explain to us, if that's all they demand out of life, if that's the only way they feel they can make an impact on life is to go and break somebody else's windows and cut down trees, there's not much you can say, is there?
No, there isn't. There's absolutely nothing you can say. And the road down to Cornay Beach, which is a beautiful road with a dry stone wall down one side, you know, we've had that wall kicked down, and he was caught in the act doing that. It was a bunch of lads who were going down to swim, which is fair enough. And, you know, as estate owners there, as the owner of that estate embraces people to go on to the place and enjoy it and go for a walk and go for a swim, like people have done in the past and carry on doing it. But this seems to be happening more and more and more. And I just do not know what's creeping into the young people in our society, because you know, it's all right people saying, oh, well, the kids have got nothing to do and they can't. But this isn't about that. It's just about mindless vandalism.
Okay, Andrew, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. And if you've got any information, call 681212. Just regarding the beach, says Gary, we were down at the beach and I think it's been more than the weekend that these windows have been smashed. It's a mindless act of vandalism, says Gary. If there's anything you know about that, by the way, then do get in touch. 681212 is the constabulary number. If we can find out who's doing that, it's Cornet, for heaven's sake. Why would you do that? Why would you go? Why would you go and do that? Is that something that you enjoy doing? Heaven knows. Thanks to could you put let me see, Storm Williamson on the birthday list? Yes, we'll do that if you really want to. Doing our bit to reduce CO2 emissions is an absolute necessity, says Phil. Saying the amount of emissions we produce is insignificant doesn't solve the problem of climate change. Phil says all countries need to cut their carbon emissions, so it's extremely self-centred and selfish not to try to do this. There's more and more news of climate change causing death and destruction around the world, and even here on the island we've been hit by extremes of weather like storms and flooding. We've been very fortunate that there hasn't been anybody badly hurt from them. Surprisingly, some people still don't believe climate change is happening, so we should do our bit to reduce CO2 emissions, says Phil. That's it. Back tomorrow for another open line on Manning Line. Thanks to Howie and Ben today. WINT